addressing here what to do if the person with whom you have a conflict is a Christian. Now, if they're not a Christian, you go back to Matthew chapter 5 and you turn the other cheek. But if they're a brother or sister in Christ, read on. But you need to recognize that the person that you've got a conflict with is family. Now, put your hand up if you have never fought with someone in your family. Andrew. No, his hand's back down. Okay. Yep, family members fight sometimes, don't we? But you don't fight with someone in your family. You fight with people in your family different to those whom you fight with who are not in your family. Is that right? Because they're family, okay? So, you know, I wrestle my brothers. Daniel wrestles Jeff. I've heard about that. I don't wrestle Jeff. Look, if someone comes in and threatens my kids, I'm gonna wrestle them in a way different to the way I wrestle my brothers. Yeah? Okay, because they're not family. Your family is not your enemy. So Jesus is talking about having a conflict with someone who is a brother or a sister. And secondly, the conflict that we're talking about here is a sin against you individually. Okay? Now, let me say a couple of things about this. There are some sins which are bigger than what we're talking about here. We wouldn't deal with in this way. If someone is getting up here and preaching heresy, I wouldn't sit down with them over coffee and have a one-to-one with them. If a man is sexually assaulting a woman, I wouldn't say, just meet with him privately and just fix that up. That's inappropriate, all right? So what Jesus is talking about here is a one-to-one interpersonal relationship that you've got when someone has sinned against you. And note that the offence against you is a sin. There's lots of other reasons that Christians argue or dislike one another. A lot of them have nothing to do with sin. Like, some Christians are just irritating. They just irritate, they are. Okay. Or they're full of themselves, or they're gullible, or they're just not as cool as you are. Cool. Right? Okay. They could be really annoying. It's not a sin. Jesus says if your brother sins against you, that is, if they disobey God's word, that they have lies or slander or gossip. If you're having a hard time with somebody and it's not because of sin, but it's just because the person's annoying or really irritating, then God says in Proverbs something to help. He says, be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. He still tells us what to do. But here, Jesus tells us what to do when a brother or sister sins against us. And I just want to say one extra thing here, and that is that some sins are also crimes. Okay? Abuse is a sin, and abuse is a crime. And if the sin that we're talking about that's been done to you is also a crime, then what we've got to do is not just deal with it privately. We've got to do what God says to do in Romans chapter 13 and submit to the governing authorities over us, and you've got to report it. Okay? Not cover it up. Okay. All right. Now, I think we've covered everything. Now, Jesus tells us what to do when a brother or sister sins against us. So what do? It's there in the next word. The whole sermon's really about the next word. Jesus says, if your brother or sister sins against you, go. He doesn't say, you wait for them to come to you. He says, go. Don't write them an email. Don't send them a Twitter. Don't send them a text. Don't chat to them on Facebook. You go. You go. Go face to face and show him his fault, just between the two of you. So what we're talking about here, can you imagine? Jesus, he intentionally goes to Peter when Peter has denied that he knew him 3 times on the night that Jesus really needed him. Jesus intentionally seeks him out and he talks to him. This is Jesus talking to Judas at the Last Supper, knowing that Judas has it in his heart to betray him. This is real stuff. We don't avoid conflict, we go. We meet this person face to face and we talk, and it's hard. Now, I want to pull that dynamic apart a little bit here, okay? What happens to you personally when someone sins against you? You don't want to go because you're hurting. Okay, you've been humiliated or violated or insulted, or your reputation's been tarnished, your name's been sullied, your family might have suffered, your situation might have been affected. You are personally suffering somehow because a brother or sister has sinned against you. And so you don't want to see that person again because you don't want to be hurt again. Like, it's raw for you. You know what that's like? First, there is hurt. So you don't want to go. But after you're hurting, what comes next? Anger. From the pain that you feel comes this, because of their words or actions, you get angry. You want to act. And what you do is, in your mind, you reinforce that you are the righteous and the innocent victim here. And they are the monster. And you wake up and you're thinking about this still. And you play the conversations over and over in your head. And you imagine conversations with them. And because they're not there, you put words into their mouth, imagining what they would say to you. And it's all to protect yourself and to justify your feelings of anger or hate or disappointment with this person. You're characterizing them in your mind. Isn't that what we do? Now, have you ever wanted someone to sketch your portrait? There's a guy in Parkley Markets who can sketch your portrait, okay? You can go there, and the guy, from what I can see, he does the most beautiful, lifelike portraits. Okay, there's a few famous celebrities he's got there done. Like, there's always Michael Jackson with these guys. There's never Kevin Rudd. Okay? They look really, really good. Okay? In fact, when you see them sketching somebody, they seem to take the imperfections in your face and they kind of downplay them a little bit. And they shade your face really carefully so that there's no skin blemishes. And in the end, like, you look quite good. You look really good. But there's another type of sketch artist, isn't there? The person who does comic caricatures. You know that person? Okay, you might have seen them doing stuff. I got one once of me down at Pier 1 in Sydney. I only got it done once. Because their job, like what like someone who does a cartoon, they exaggerate the weird features of your face that stick out, okay? And notice, so if your teeth stick out a little bit, they'll draw you looking like a beaver. And if your ears poke up, you're going to end up looking like Prince Charles, okay? Or if you've got a hooked nose, you're going to be Shylock the Jew, okay? They magnify your imperfections to create a recognizable but not a very flattering portrait of yourself, right? So there's two types of sketch artists that you could go to get a portrait. You could go to the Park Lee guy, who makes you look 3D and really good. Or you could go to the Pier 1 guy who makes you look like this one-dimensional, ridiculous cartoon guy, and you look bad. Now, when someone sins against you and you're hurting and angry, who do you simplify and exaggerate to look bad? And who do you embellish and smooth over to make you look good? Okay. See, in our minds, in our conversations that we play over and over, we draw the person who sins against us in this really unflattering light. We exaggerate their worst features and we leave them in black and white. But of ourselves, we believe that any ugliness in our own character was never exaggerated. We shade ourselves with all the hues of considered motives and reasons for our actions. We paint the one who sinned against us with one-dimensional motives. We blow up the things that we don't like about them so that they are seen in the worst light possible and that we are seen in the best light possible. And you don't want to go and see them because you feel much better and more justified by writing about them on Facebook or gossiping about them and having others take your side, and you can demonize them a little bit more. Because if you went to them and you sat down with them one-to-one, face-to-face, then you're not before your imagined person anymore. This person is real, and you talk it out, and you see that actually they were just like you. They're 3D, not 1D. and they're complex, and they're the reasons they did things are nuanced, and they're real people. In fact, they're just sinners like you, really. So if your brother sins against you, go. Because otherwise, you might sin in your anger. And that person is real. They're not the person you've been creating in your head. Okay? So go. And the other, there's another reason to go to them. And that is because, look in Matthew 18, it's because sin is really serious. It is a big deal. You're going, no joke, I know that. Like, I've just been hurt by that person's sin. But look at what Jesus has said earlier in this chapter about sin in verse 6. He says, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to sin, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus says causing other people to sin is a big deal. And then in verse 8 and 9, Jesus says, well, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to actually enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into eternal fire. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the fire of hell. Sin's a big deal. Now, Jesus is speaking here in hyperbole. He is using shocking language so that we actually wake up and just listen to what he's saying. And he's saying these two things. Sin can tear a person away from their Father in heaven. Ongoing sin can put a person in hell. And that's your brother or your sister. Sin is a really big deal, okay? And it needs to be dealt with. So if a brother sins against you, he's in danger. If you do nothing about it, then you show that you don't even care what happens to him. He might continue in that sin, and then he's in more danger. Now, I know that it's hard to speak to them, and I'll speak more on that in a second. But do you see the point here? This person is your brother. And sin is a big deal, and it needs to be dealt with. That's why Jesus says, go. He's your brother. Go. Help him. And verse 15, and he says, when you go, when you talk it over, and you show him his fault, there can be two outcomes. The first is that your offending brother might repent. And when he repents and he says sorry, then you have to do something else that's hard. You have to forgive them or her. You need to cancel that debt that they owe to you. Instead of asking that person to pay for what they have done to you, you personally, you absorb the cost of what they've done and you don't exact revenge on them. And that is hard, and it actually costs you personally. You yourself, you deal with your anger. You don't vent it on them. Now, more on that next week. Please come next week, because next week is all about forgiveness. Okay, and I can just touch on it here. But that is what is required of you if you're going to reconcile with your brother. And you need to do it simply and privately. When you show him his fault, just between the two of you, the first way he might respond is to repent. Or he won't repent. And you go, yes, now I don't have to forgive him, the scumbag. But you know, don't celebrate too soon, because actually it gets a whole lot harder from here. Now it gets harder, but God has given you this wonderful resource to help you deal with this, and it's your church. It's your family that belongs to your Father in heaven. So if this person does not repent, if he will not listen, then Jesus says you take two or three along with you and you go to him in front of them and you talk it out again. And these two or three people, they'll be your witnesses, and they're there like judges, and they'll listen to you and they'll listen to him. And they'll know that if you're overstating the case, if you're exaggerating what he did to make you appear innocent, if you've like painted his motives in a one-dimensional way, that they're going to be there to gently and lovingly make that clear to you. And when they're there, Jesus is there with them. He says that in verse 20. When two or three are gathered, I'm there with you. He's there as a witness to what's going on. Okay? So, because they're there, and like you're on show as well, when you, if it goes to that point, it first takes a good deal of careful thinking and praying on your part. And hopefully that person will respond to the honest and frank discussion, especially if the people there are witnesses that he respects. But he still might refuse to listen. And then, if that happens, then somehow the church has to be brought in on it. And because this person is a brother or sister who's continuing in sin, and because ongoing sin can tear that person away from their Father in heaven, and because you don't want that to happen, and the church doesn't want that to happen, then the conflict now has escalated to a formal process. And the church somehow needs to tell him or her that they love him or her. But what's going on here is not okay. And that person needs to stop. You know, it's not okay for you to say that you love Jesus and hit your kids. That is not okay for you to do that. It's not okay to say that you love Jesus and run a business and not even pay the minimum wage to your workers and run a sweatshop. That's not okay. It's not okay for you to say you love Jesus and cheat on your wife. You know, that's not okay. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, Jesus says you treat that person as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, what does that mean? Pagan and tax collectors aren't nice. You can just wash your hands of them and say good riddance and move on. But remember, Jesus was always getting in heaps of trouble for making friends with pagans and tax collectors. So if you treat them as a pagan or tax collector, you don't sever ties with this person. But it does mean that you no longer consider that person to be a brother in Christ. And you've got to make that really, really clear. Because sin leads to death. And if you don't make it clear to that person who has sinned against you and they're continuing that sin, then they think they're fine if you're not making that clear. If you do make it clear, you do make it clear that you no longer consider him to be a brother, then hopefully he's going to take that seriously. And then, like the prodigal son, he'll come to his senses and he'll go, I'm far away from God and I've got to turn back and I've got to come home. But that would have happened if you've dealt with that well. Okay. Now, why don't we just get the church, this is a hard process, why don't we just get the church involved right from the beginning, you know? Someone sins against you and it really hurts you. You go and tell the minister, he arranges a church tribunal. This person is given a chance to repent. If he doesn't repent, you just kick him out. Why don't we do that? Jeff would like that. He's so annoying. It's because this guy's family. Okay? The goal here is to restore someone who's lost, not to banish someone who's hurt you. Look at the sentence in Matthew 18 that's before our passage tonight. The very sentence before. Look what Jesus says immediately prior to this passage in verse 15. Jesus says, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Because your Father in heaven, what was that song? The God of armies or something? God of heavenly armies or something like that. He loves and he has great concern for the one who sins against you. This one against you is a brother. And God knows sin is so serious. That can lead your brother to hell. But your Father in heaven, he does not want your brother to be lost. And you have to have that same love and concern, even for the person who sins against you. Is that hard for you to do? You bet it's hard. But go back, can you remember the first resolution that we made? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It's the person who humbles himself. The person who knows in your heart that you have nothing to bring to God that will earn you a place in heaven. You know that you are no better than anyone else. In fact, the only thing that you bring to the table regarding your salvation is your sin. And it's forgiven and this guy's the same as you. And Jesus says, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. No person is below our welcome and our love and our concern. Because our Father in heaven is not willing that any of these ones be lost. And the key here, the key that we all need, is humility. How can we face the one who has sinned against us when we're angry? How can we do this in a God-honoring way? We need to humble ourselves and just consider where this person stands. Ask God to give you a heart that goes out to the one who sins against us, to give you the desire that he not be lost, that this person be restored, and that you be reconciled. Has there been hurt done to you? Yep. Have you a right to be angry? Yes. Will you need time to cool down and get perspective? Yep. Will it hurt you to forgive him if he repents? Yep. And Jesus says to you, go. You know, that's exactly what he did for us. John chapter 1. Jesus came to that which was his own. He went, but his own did not receive him. Romans 5. When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Do you see how the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the one who is humble, who loves others above themselves, even when you might be hurting because of the sin of a brother? What will your resolution be? Can you say this? Not actually say it, but could you? Yeah. Could this be yours? I resolve to speak to the brother or sister who has sinned against me. I will go. I resolve to speak to the person that I know right now that I need to speak to, because things are not right between us. I will resolve not to avoid this conflict. I will resolve to go. I will meet that person face to face, real to real, with a humble desire that we be reconciled. I resolve to do this because their sin is actually a really big deal and it needs to be dealt with. And I resolve to do this because our Father, my Father, and that person's Father is not willing that any of his little ones be lost. And I resolve to come next week to church and I resolve to learn what Jesus says about forgiveness. Can you say that? No, I need God's help here. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, our Father, we thank you so much for your love and for your kindness, that while we were sinners, Jesus came. He came so that we could be reconciled. And Father, you brought us to your loving embrace as your sons and daughters. And it was through the death of your Son. And sin is serious, and you dealt with it, and we thank you. And Father, sometimes when a brother or sister has sinned against us, Lord, we need your help, and we need your perspective, and we need your grace, and we need your strength to process what's happened and to work out what we should say. Help us to be obedient to you, and to make that call, that phone call that you want us to make. Help us in Jesus' name.